Another special show today on Head Games Radio. We got the four H's. We've got Head Games, we've got Halloween. We're going to talk a little bit more about history, and then we're going to talk about humor. We'll be joined by that man whose voice you just heard talking about throwing or driving the cart in the lake, Gary McCord, in just a few minutes with Bob Costas. But Bob, really, again, appreciate your taking the time. Here's one more quote from Chris Berman.
Time's gone by, and if it didn't happen this year, it still was pretty cool. And so, I don't know, maybe that's just me, too. I'm a history major at Brown, which that may or may not have anything to do with why I like the history of sports, too.
Of course it does.
Well, I mean, because I'm fascinated by those who preceded us.
Bob, I think that's something you share in common, and maybe it's not a coincidence that David Halberstam, one of the great historians of this culture, is so fascinated by sports as well.
Well, sports can often be, if you don't overdo it, can often provide a window into what's going on in the larger culture, and sometimes sports figures or events in sports take on some significance that transcends that day's scoreboard. You got to be selective about that. Not everything fits into that category, but some things do. And no matter what we do, what we cover, I think it's myopic to look at it as having its meaning only based on what's happening right now, or the only thing that matters is what's happening right now. We live in a youth-oriented culture, and some of that is understandable, but we glorify youth to the point where anything that happened less than 5 minutes ago or more than 5 minutes ago is somehow viewed as irrelevant or old-fashioned or whatever. But where does the context come from if it doesn't come from some appreciation of what's preceded it and some perspective that comes with having seen something over the course of time as opposed to just being confronted with things for the first time? So, I mean, this seems to me to be obvious that without some appreciation of history, without some kind of perspective, how can you evaluate anything? If it's just something as relatively insignificant as sports, what do performances mean if you don't have benchmarks and if you don't have some sense of history and you don't have some records to compare them to? That's why the steroid crisis in baseball was so significant, because the records and the history of baseball matter more than other sports. They matter in all sports, but they matter most in baseball. And that's really at the heart of the steroid controversy, because it poisoned the record book.
Well, we're going to be joined now by a man who appreciates history and has, I think, a gift for conveying history and also fun in coverage of sport. And I thought that we would stir this pot a little bit with the legendary man himself who played the Tooth Fairy at his own Halloween party, Gary McCord. Have you got that outfit on with the nice little tutu still?
I don't want to hear about that anymore.
Hey, you did it. I didn't.
And I love history because, as you know, I am really old, so I'm really getting into history now, really getting into it. Now, what are you guys talking about? Let me hear about it.
Well, we're talking about the fact that so little of the coverage of sport tends to understand the context. You know, I want to touch on Red Auerbach and his legacy, and when you compare him to a Lombardi or John Wooden, what they mean. But let's focus on golf now, Bob Costas and Gary McCord, in the context when we hear a Tiger Woods, which inevitably is going to be the subject of discussion in golf today because of his streak, because of his consistency. It's also because of his place in history. And Gary, let's start with you. When you look at the phenomenal coverage and focus on a Tiger Woods, has it gone too far?
Well, we always take things too far, especially in the media. Our sport is a sport driven by a superstar. We're a third page sport. We need somebody up there pushing us up to the front page once in a while. And obviously, at this particular point in our time, we have that person in Tiger Woods. So the focus is really keen on Tiger Woods. Now the fact that he's obliterating all these records. He is standing alone in our sport. He is so much better than everyone else. And it's really hard in today's sport where we have all these superior athletes, so one guy could really stand out and just beat the crap out of everybody else in their sport is phenomenal, and that's what we have right now. And again, he's a great representative for our sport. You couldn't ask for anything better. So we're really right now at the pinnacle of our being in this sport to have someone with the flag and leading us right now. So it's great to watch.
Bob, is Tiger Woods the other end of the spectrum? We talked with Charles Barkley about the fact that you can have one or two good games and suddenly you're a superstar. But Tiger Woods truly is, isn't he?
Oh, he absolutely is. He's a modern superstar in that he's not only excellent, he's telegenic. But historically, there's no disputing that he's already at or very near the top. You can argue that until he passes Nicklaus's total of 18 majors, that Jack is still the greatest. But I would put this as a question to Gary because I don't have the expertise, but it seems like a legitimate question. Is it fair to say already, Gary, that Tiger Woods has, at various times in his career, played golf better than anyone has ever played golf?
Yeah, Bob, and I'll relate that. And as what I do is sit up in a tower and I watch and I reflect on what these guys are doing and try to paint word pictures, and I paint those pictures from the fact that I have been up there playing since 1974. I've played with Nicklaus. I've played with those guys. I've watched. I understand. I don't understand Tiger Woods. I some of the stuff he does, I sit there in disbelief. I don't call him right. I say, well, he's got to do this, and then he, you know, somehow does that. Hits it on the green out of 4 foot rough up to his fetlocks with a 3-iron, carrying the ball 300 yards over water with a 7-iron. You know, stuff like that. And that's basically what it is. And I don't understand it. And it scared me because everything else I understood, I've seen it before. I never saw this. Never saw it coming. I couldn't comment on it. I couldn't paint pictures because I didn't understand it. And that's the way I relate Tiger Woods to everyone else. Jack Nicklaus, Trevino, I understood that. I could do that once in a while. I can't do anything this kid does. Never thought of doing it.
You know, I'm putting.
Well, let me ask you this then. Would you define a true superstar then in terms of a Muhammad Ali, in terms of a Michael Jordan, as being measured not by their impact nationally, but truly in their global impact with this telegenic and informational culture?
Bob, you have to define it.
Go ahead, Bob.
I would say that Willie Mays was a genuine baseball superstar. He had no particular global impact. I guess the circumstances change from era to era, and in a celebrity culture, when you have someone who has legitimate celebrity, not bogus or ginned up celebrity, but a celebrity that comes from legitimate qualities they have and legitimate achievements, then you are talking about someone like a Woods or a Jordan or an Ellie.
Okay. Well, guys, I want to shift now from history itself to humor, because Bob and Gary, both of you use humor in different ways. Bob, you've written a number of books, and I'm not sure if you'd say, Gary, that your crowning achievement is The Idiot's Guide to Golf, but certainly being able to teach the lessons, without getting too profound or sober here, the lessons of life with humor. It's clear some of the athletes that we cover on this stage are able to pretend as if they're relaxed under pressure, and others truly are. Who are some of your favorite people as you cover sport that truly are able to laugh in the moment with the highest level of pressure? Let's first start with Bob.
Well, it's a good question. Some people are naturally characters, and I don't know that that is the same thing as truly being relaxed under pressure. Their personality is such that they're more demonstrative, but some people are more reserved naturally, and yet they're relaxed and able to perform under pressure. Thinking of the sport that I know best, Bob Gibson was outwardly very intense in baseball. You could see that intensity. His contemporary, Sandy Koufax, was very reserved. There was nothing demonstrative about his personality. But they were both obviously either completely at ease in the most pressure-packed moments, or if they weren't at ease, they were able to tame their emotions and direct them in a positive way. So I think there's so many different paths to a desired outcome that there's no one prescription for how you should do it.
Gary, who's the funniest person you've ever worked with?
As far as playing golf or commentary or what?
I would prefer it being who's the guy that you're walking down the fairway and he's about to lose $1 million on a putt and he's still able to laugh.
The guy that has always done that, I'll give you two guys, Fuzzy Zeller, really doesn't care. And he doesn't care. I remember I was playing with him in a Champions Tour event, and we're right up there, we're going at it, and, you know, a couple holes left, and he hits the ball in a bunker, and it goes up in the lip. And he whacks it out, hits the lip, come back and hits him. Okay, and that's a two-shot penalty, plus the ball's now he's got it. Now then it goes down and plugs because it bounced off him. And he chips out, and he's whistling the whole time. And he made like 8 or 9 and never blinked, just kept going, kept whistling. And I hit the next tee shot. You don't want to say anything. Hit the next tee shot in a par three, and I'm walking next to him, and I said, let me just say something. I said, if that would have been me, I'd have thrown my caddy, the clubs, and everything else into the pond. And I said, you never blinked. He goes, it's golf. And I went, wow. I said, that's really cool. And the other one was Trevino. And Trevino, you know, I got to play with him a lot, and I watched how he handled the mental aspect of pressure. And it was real interesting. He's in constant conversation. Most of the time, he was with his caddy, Herman Mitchell. And he would just taunt Herman all the time, taunting him. And then he'd get up over a shot, and just before he hit it, he'd tell Herman what he was going to do. And then for that precious second, he got over the ball, stood still, did it, went right back to Herman and started taunting him again. And what he did is he stayed loose by talking constantly. It was just gibberish most of the time. But then he'd set a goal. He set a goal like, okay, I'm going to cut it off the left-hand bunker and work it left to right towards the right center of the fairway because the pin's back left. And he'd tell Herman that, and he'd go do it. So it was a way to verify what he was going to do and set him on a positive note. And I watched him do that, and then he'd go and start talking to the gallery and gibberish again. But he was great at that.
Well, we're going to go to a break. We're joined by CBS Golf's Gary McCord, one of the best in covering golf and one of the best in covering the field of sport. Bob Costas from HBO's Inside the NFL. We would be remiss if we didn't cover the NFL in our last brief segment. Stay with us. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.